So, well, first of all, just thank you very much to our last lightning talk speaker. My wife actually is an assistant secretary for the Philippine Department of Foreign Affairs, and has just hosted a disaster response DRR meeting for ASEM, which is the group of Asian and Pacific countries, all the way from China over to the US and Canada. So a heartfelt thanks to anybody who was involved in the Typhoon Yolanda aftermath from both of us. Thanks. To myself, when I was 21 when I started OpenStreetMap mapping. And then I got involved spearing our license change process, and suddenly my hair went white, and I suddenly find myself in my mid-50s. I possibly connected, I don't know. But the result of it was that, and certainly now 2 years later, we have quite, a very good legal licensing ecosystem. So I thought I'll just start with a little theatre just to describe what that is. So no expense spared here. So essentially we've got a group of documents like this. So the first document is the contributor terms, 2010. Now the thing about the contributor terms, it's almost like a constitution, and it's very difficult for us to change it. That's by intent. Add to it, yes, but actually take bits out, no. Add to that, then, the license itself, 2011. The contributor terms is putting data in, and the ODBL is taking data out. Now, the thing about the license is we can change it a little, or we can throw it away and replace it with something else. So that's two documents, and then there's now a third document, which is sort of a bit of the focus of today's talk. We're in a pioneering situation, we'll see that in a moment. Community guidelines. So a set of three documents, and we can simply keep adding to those, and they're basically the community guidelines are, we explore different issues, come to some sort of resolution, and move on. So the slides then, what I've done is on the wiki you will find a page called State of the License, so I've tried to link everything to that. So I'm going to try and move just as fast as I can through these. Okay, so like one of those old silent movies, we'll move on at some pace. So first of all, just some observations, and these are just things. The license is a tool, it's just a tool, so we have to think what's behind it, why are we doing it, why do we want it. So these are my own observations. So the first of all is the conclusion from this slide is open licenses have been around for a long time, but we are actually in a third wave down the bottom, and we only really started with a choice for everybody in 2011, so very young. And the other conclusion from this is, if you look up at the top, if you're writing computer source code, there's a very obvious distinction between the person who wrote the code and the person who uses it. As you go down the list and you come into what we're doing with data, that distinction really starts to blur, and there can be some issues involved with that. The next observation is that we have actually two communities. So we have contributors and end users, and I'll come on to the moment the point of that. And there is actually a third one, is also, I think, very important at this moment in time, is the end user contributors. So this observation is why I really, this is got involved in licensing rather than just going out and mapping, is, and I've made this personal because it's what motivates me, is we have to think long term. Basically the point of it is there's a very old data out there which is very useful now. I'd like our data bit to be useful way into the next century. We need a licensing framework to handle that. I think we've the license framework, but my conclusion is don't hurry and don't shoot yourself in the foot. I like the Dalek poster. So I voted for that. So the world domination thing. But the conclusion from this is, I see three phases emerging. We've done that. And then the last one is when we really have to think about our end user community. I think at the moment we're in a transitional phase where still probably our contributor community is at least slightly more important than our end user community. My personal observation, you may disagree, and I'd love to talk to you about that. So, okay, moving on. The core slide is this. It's on the wiki and it's now linkified. So I've tried to take you into each issue so that you can study it in more detail if you want to. The subliminal message from this, of course, is loads are green. We've achieved quite a lot. The one I would, of course, focus you on is that top one is I think is the most important one of all, is that we have one unified open mapping community. Of course, you always want to do better, so let's just focus in quickly on then these red areas down the bottom. So the first one, as I'll just come back to these community guidelines. The process is in as of the 6th of June. We've actually taken five of them through to sort of the final conclusion, which is the board of the foundation endorsing them, and they are now sitting up, thank you, on the actual foundation website as a sort of formal statement. I think we've made considerable progress, and perhaps we've done making maps when you're actually using OpenStreetMap data and other data. I feel we've removed most of the legal perplexities in doing that, and some others at the bottom. And now, the to-do then is I think we need to be targeting, there are two communities which I think is in OpenStreetMap's both altruistic and self-interest to target. The first one is what I'm calling now, so these mostly, not necessarily, but mostly commercial, transitional end-user contributors. So these are companies that would like to use OpenStreetMap data exclusively, can't because it's not good enough. So they'd like to have a situation where they can be using OpenStreetMap data and their own data. Their motivation is that this other data is expensive, they contribute to OpenStreetMap, and eventually they can switch this off. There are some issues involved there, and so some of these immature community guideline topics are intended to address those. I think this is, we move on then. So that's the last issue I'd like to just present to you then is license compatibility. Both the open database license and now the Creative Commons number 4 suite have this compatibility clause in them, which basically sets up a mechanism so that you can say, well, and this other open license is compatible. I think that's very important. We really haven't made a start on it from the ODBL side, but I'm very pleased that Diane Peters, I think she's the chief legal counsel of Creative Commons, is taking a very personal interest in that. And she shared with me a document on comparing ODBL with their own licenses and any issues involved. So this is the legal things. It will happen slowly, but I'm reasonably confident that something positive is going to happen. And then, so the future, so this is, so my perspective is at the moment, it's the nautical phrase, steady as she goes. Work to do, but we'll just keep on going slowly. We're doing something pioneering and interesting. Let's continue. So that's all I wanted to say. We've now, Alex? So the idea is, I'm from the foundation license working group, and then now Alex is going to say some independent remarks, and I think it's probably going to focus more on some of the issues that I've tended to skate over at a very high level. So Alex, over to you. Alex will speak for about 5 minutes, and then we have plenty of time for any discussion you want to make. I'm seriously interested in hearing what you personally think about things. And it's something also we can continue over today and tomorrow. I'll be here. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Do I have a converter here? I do have one.
So I can share mine with you. You have to share mine.
I can share mine with you. So, as I'm setting up here, I want to thank Mike and everybody who was involved in the current licensing working group, but also everybody who was ever involved in working on licensing in OpenStreetMap. This is tremendous work. I know it's not always fun. I know myself very, very, very dearly that it's not always fun. So I really want to thank them, and you know. It's almost like worth like a separate round of applause here. So let me close this here and see whether my computer is actually connecting. Hey, so. Oh yeah, so it looks a little bit like I'm not mirroring, right? Let me fix this here real quick. Mirrored this place. Here we go. Good. My name is Alex. I work with Mapbox. Before I've worked with Development Seed, or it sort of used to be like a little bit of the same thing. In my work, I get to do a lot of OpenStreetMap work, which is really awesome. It's a lot of fun. Get to work on like with a small team, like on improving data. Get to like help. Improving like some of the tools that we have on OpenStreetMap.org. We've been involved in working on the ID editor, for instance. So this is all very awesome. I also get to think a lot about the license for us, like as a commercial user of OpenStreetMap, and also get to think a lot about hey, what do we want to achieve here with OpenStreetMap, and how do we fit into the community, and how do like our goals align here. What I'm personally very excited about with OpenStreetMap is that that's an open data project. I've been doing like open source for over 10 years. And I've been working also specifically with open data a lot in like in the government and in the international sector. We've worked with folks like the World Bank or nonprofits to like help them open their data and like really see why they would do that and how this can help them go forward. What's really really exciting about OpenStreetMap is that it is a community open data project. It's not like a government or like an NGO or a company opening the data. No, it's like a community of people coming together and create data on their own behalf. So this is really like the amazing potential that I'm seeing here in OpenStreetMap. It's less like the map that we have here, but more like the data, right? That we have here downloadable of OpenStreetMap for anybody to use and do with it whatever they wish to do. So. What I think is happening right now is that we have a situation where the world around us is like radically changing, right? We have more and more institutions coming online and offering their data in the open. Like there's the open government movement. There's a lot of open data coming online right now that is also being used in OpenStreetMap. Like I'm going to show you like in an example later in a second. But at the same time, like we have more and more institutions, organizations, companies using data in completely new ways, right? Like they start to realize, look, this is amazing. Like there is amazing potential in working with data, but it also becomes like a real possibility as tools become much more accessible, and especially in the geospace, as computation power becomes much more accessible. Like anybody can go on AWS now and spin up like a huge Hadoop job to do like MapReduce on like global data sets. This is something that hasn't been possible before. And this is where OpenStreetMap's real disruptive power now becomes that this is data. And there very specifically, like the problem that we're starting to run into now is that OpenStreetMap's utility, the use cases that we can cover with OpenStreetMap are limited by the share-like license that we have. So my proposal here very specifically is to address many of the problems that Mike just talked about with like the current ODBL license and like the limitations that we have with it, that we simply address this by dropping the share-like clause of OpenStreetMap to make OpenStreetMap much more open than it is today, so that we win like a plethora of like more use cases that in turn will help us to drive incentives and to strengthen incentives for people to contribute to the data. I want to be very specific like of what types of use cases we're currently cutting out, what kinds of OpenStreetMap data users we're currently cutting out, and with which in turn we're cutting out people who could be potential potential contributors and who are showing that they are contributors already. This is like goes a little bit to like the last item that you had on your slide, Mike, that the user contributor. I think this is like the type of the class of users that you were talking about there. So the first one that I want to show here, the first example is New York City. We've been working with the New York City government to bring their public data into OpenStreetMap. We've worked here with the city department itself. They were very excited about this. What we did is we put over 1 million building footprints and addresses into OpenStreetMap. And now what New York City is getting in return, which I think is really awesome and exciting, is to get this email. It's a daily email that shows them changes on the map to buildings and addresses. So they can use this information now to improve their own public data, right? Now, obviously, they can't actually copy that data, right? But they can use this to learn, hey, there has been a change, and then they can go out and check this themselves. Now, wouldn't it be great if they could just copy this back, right? We're currently not possible on the share-alike, and also not clear how it would ever be a possibility on the share-alike. Another example is Wikipedia. There's a lot of, at least, like, unclarity, but I think real issues with using OpenStreetMap data in Wikipedia. These are two of, like, the pillars of, like, the open internet right now, and they can't properly work together because of a share, like, data license. Other examples would be Foursquare, who is, David Blackman is like blacking out here. I recommend everybody to watch this talk from State of the Map US from David Blackman at Foursquare, who's doing a lot of work on the geostuff side with Foursquare, and who is building a geocoder for Foursquare. And he talks in this talk very succinctly about how they have used OpenStreetMap Polygon data for improving like their reverse geocoder, and they're seeing very, very good results. Now, the joke is that they can't put this into production because their lawyers would never ever let them, because they're way too scared that the share-like provisions of our license would taint their data. Other examples would be like what HOT is doing, or what the World Bank is doing right now in developing countries, where they start to use OpenStreetMap as a platform for governments to improve governmental data for disaster risk reduction, but also for urban planning. This is really great. I think it's working. It really goes very close to this use case that I talked about with like New York City, where you can start to like use OpenStreetMap as a platform for improving government data. The problem here is that this is sort of like a sneaking sort of buy-in for like countries like Indonesia or in Nepal, where they start to use like OpenStreetMap data in a governmental context, but they buy almost unknowingly into a pretty aggressive share-like license. And the last example, I also like I encourage everybody like to talk to Christoph Bünte here, who gave a talk just earlier in the Lightning Talk session about WheelMap. I'm very excited about this project because it really shows how OpenStreetMap as data can serve as a data application platform for doing very interesting stuff to start actual like social businesses on top of it, like WheelMap, that use the data directly, that enrich OpenStreetMap data directly, but then in turn have a very strong interest to go and do stuff with that actual data, and for instance, go like, look, I'd also want to show those wheel map attributes, not only show it up on OpenStreetMap, but could I add this to like, say, like TomTom POIs, right? How would that look like? So, lastly, I think I gave a couple of examples here. Lastly, I want to say like, what's sort of like the next step? Sorry, from my perspective, we're working right now with Kevin Pomfret from the Center of Spatial Law, who's been like very, a very helpful lawyer in the space, and has also worked a lot with the humanitarian OpenStreetMap team. On legal questions, we're working right now with Kevin to like solidify the examples that we've put together, and to like make a very succinct list of like the issues that we're seeing specifically around share, like, but also with other problems in the ODBL license. I really think this is about making like the best map of the world. This is not about like, you know, commercial data users getting like the free will here. This is about unlocking like the potential that OpenStreetMap has to make it like useful in a lot more use cases than it is today, and thus create like a massive like new level of incentives for people to start using OpenStreetMap. I think we have an amazing project here at hand that has huge disruptive power that needs some unlocking. It's a conversation that I'm very much looking forward to, like here now at this talk, but also like later in the hallway. If you know, agree or not agree with me, grab me. Let's talk about this. I'm really, really excited about this. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Michael. I think we have a lot of minutes left for a question. If there are any questions about licensing, you have the two experts here on stage. No questions about licensing?
It's so interesting. And lunch is coming. But we have a question here.
Can I control a licensing debate? This could be lots of fun. I'm very interested by the fact that sort of Alex has reawakened the question of whether we should be share-alike or not in the future. I mean, I've been involved in OpenStreetMap for, you know, 10 years minus a few months now, and have always been of a public domain mind. You know, I think the problem with share alike, although it's a very noble concept, is that you have a lot of collateral damage and people who can't use the map even though they'd like to do good stuff with it. The one thing that really worries me is not the New York public authorities doing stuff, that's great. It's not Mapbox doing stuff, it's not, you know, anyone in this room really doing stuff. It's the possibility of what I might call a bad actor, a really, really big company. And, you know, insert your favorite bogeyman here, whether it be Google, Apple, Samsung, Amazon, whoever you don't like, but someone big who can use our data to shortcut a whole bunch of their own collecting effort and then not have to give anything at all back to the community, just use it to kickstart their own project. And you can imagine one of the big map providers using that and then saying, okay, thanks guys, we've now got a better map than you. We've got our own editing software and we've got more users than you. Be nice knowing you. How do both of you see tackling that in the future?
Okay. It's very interesting you're saying that as a very well-known PD advocate. As you know, I mean, personally, I at least started with similar sympathies, but I see the fundamental reasons we have share alike is, you know, the general share alike principles of encouraging people to give data back. The second reason is that this is the thing I wanted to emphasize on those slides, is we have a user community and a contributor community, and the needs of each community are not necessarily exactly the same, and we need to but through time that will change, and so I'll come back to that in the answer. And then the third one is that it's the share alike, having share alike is part of the two main foundations of our anti-hijack strategy. So I think the first answer to your question is it's that provision, it is the share alike that protects against exactly that kind of scenario. And I think that our main weakness is it's not actually losing people who look at maps, because we don't do maps, we do map data. But we do have a risk of having our contributors hijacked. And so that's now why I personally feel that, at least for the moment, it is most sensible to have a share-alike license. That's very important. I do feel that will change in the future, but again, the point of the slide with 2,182 is that we have a very long time to think about those questions. Thanks, Richard. Alex?
So I have a very different perspective on this one. And this is it. The CIA is using our data, right? The CIA is using our data. They're not giving anything back. right? So share alike is number one, not actually protecting us from, like, you know, evil actor X, like using OpenStreetMap without what exactly, giving back what, right? Now, number one. Number two, I don't think that there is a future in this project. I don't think that there's a future in this project without open data. Like, you cannot do what OpenStreetMap is without making an open data project. You can make like a map, you know, Google Map Maker kind of thing, right? That will draw some contributors, right? But you will not be able to like stand up like the backbone of a community that we have here that creates like the entire world on a map, that puts the entire world on the map. I don't think this is, I'm convinced this is not possible without like the integrity of an open data project. So yes, you know, like, I think commercial players who want to not play nice could even use our data even more so than they are today, right? But in turn, like this is like missing the point, right? Like this is an open data project. OpenStreetMap is a community, and they cannot take this away, or they cannot build this without actually the integrity of an open data project. That's sort of my take on this.
Okay. Further questions?
Or like Esri is using our data, right?
Are they more evil than CIA?
I'm not sure.
They break the line.
My question was about the New York experience. What I don't understand is they are releasing some data, some geographical data is open data, and they are putting it in OpenStreetMap, right? This is premises correct? And the second point is, I don't understand why then cannot copy back those data, because well, if they are putting this data in OpenStreetMap in the first place, the license is compatible. And on the other end, if they want to copy back the data, well, they have to worry about the share alike only if they want to reshare those data again. And if we are talking about the first data set, then the license is still compatible. So what, where is the problem? Can you expand on this?
So number one, like the way the data got in is like we did an import project. It was involved in that. It's almost done right now. You can check it out on jobs.openstreetmap.us/task/2. task.openstreetmap.us/jobs/2. Number one. Number two, New York City data is public domain data, right? There's a one-way compatibility between public domain and ODBL. You can move data from public domain that is in the public domain into an ODBL data set, but you can't do it the other way around. If we took OpenStreetMap data and put this into the New York City data set, the New York City data set would have to be licensed under the ODBL. You could not go and take OpenStreetMap data, put it into like the New York City data set, and then say, oh, this is all public domain. You would essentially create a way of like public domaining OpenStreetMap data, which is not possible specifically under the ODBL. So there's like a one-way compatibility, right? We can move data from the New York City government into OpenStreetMap, but we cannot move like OpenStreetMap data into the New York City government. Do you want to say something to that, Serge? Because you were like raising your hand.
And I'd also like to add a comment.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the same comment that Michael's going to make. That is true, unless the foundation were to make an arrangement, which they could. So the foundation could make an arrangement with New York City or any government entity or any entity at all that would say, we make an exception to the ODBL for this data under these terms. And so Alex is completely correct. Under the terms of the license as it stands right now, it's a one-way street from public domain to ODBL, but the foundation, which owns all the data, could create an exception.
Yeah, thank you. So I'd forgotten that one, yes. I was actually looking through our voluminous stuff on legal issues on our website, and I actually found that was actually discussed. So yes, we have the ODBL, but there is actually nothing to stop us, and I emphasize us, not the foundation, saying, yes, we could make special exceptions provided that it is under an open and free license. I think we would be have to very cautious about doing that, and probably we should, you're the contributor term, say if you want to have another license, there should be a vote. So I think that would be the mechanism. So it would be a fairly seriously considered process. So, and then the other comment that I'd wanted to make is, yep, so the example Alex pinpoints, yes, it is more general. So, for example, the Finnish governments and the South African governments have very kindly, sort of very formally, provided us with street data, certainly for South Africa, for the whole country. What they would like to be able to do is, when OpenStreetMap mappers go and find something wrong, they can monitor what happens in OpenStreetMap, see there's a change in a particular town, and then they can go and update their own data. That's potentially not much of a problem, because actually, why would they actually want to use OpenStreetMap data? They can use it as a reference. They say, something has happened here, we need to target one of our surveyors, go up there, find it, and put it into our own authoritative, but perhaps more accurately resolved data set. So thanks. Next question.
Okay, I'd like to have one for contribution.
I'm back to the New York case. The case of New York is interesting because it's not only a share-alike problem, it's also attribution, because if you want to move to public domain, we will also have to drop attribution. So it's not only a share-alike problem to deal with these situations. I think what is important is whatever change we have in the future about the license, special case or things like that, is to never forget that the value of OpenStreetMap first is its community. If by any reason we delete all OpenStreetMap data today, I'm sure we will do it again. So, because the community is the engine, but if you remove the community, the data interest will go down very quickly. So, what is important is to have as many contributors active, and that's why I think the share alike is an important thing. It's to keep the data always improved and improved and improved. If you're just using the data and not bringing anything back, it's not, you're not part of the community. You're just using the community. And we have to find a way to balance, and maybe some exceptions, because when I see New York providing all their address, they are providing something. So in return, we may find some exception to the share alike. But for me, the share alike should stay the default for anybody who is not providing something.
Okay. I don't think that needs a response, really, does it?
Okay. So, okay. I 100% agree that this is about the community, right? This is also what I've tried to say before. The real thing about OpenStreetMap is that it is a community that can create this map every day. The world is just changing way too fast. To like, you know, it would be really stupid to just go take this data and then seal it off and use it in your project. Because what you haven't understood then is that the world is just changing a lot faster than you think, right? So number one. Number two, I think a lot of what organizations can bring to the table when they work with OpenStreetMap is actually not data contribution, but also all the other things that OpenStreetMap means, like money for the foundation, like software. There is like a lot to share back that is not exactly the data. So I think we're already seeing this, right? There's like a lot of like institutional actors in OpenStreetMap who are very ready to share back, who are very open to that, and who are very strong and like supporting the community without share alike, right?
Okay, how many contributions have we to the discussion still left? One? two, three. Okay, our rest is melting, but I think we have about 90 minutes lunch break, and if there are important contributions, I think we should take the time to take them. If someone wants to leave to the Mensa, then please do so. So, who's next? Please announce a name and where you are coming from.
My name is Thomas Haupt from Karlsruhe, private company. My question is about the end user, and the end user who contributes by using, for instance, navigation devices and spend data, but on the other hand provides data like travel times. So how that fits in the data licensing model? How is the relationship to such companies like Telenav and others who use OpenStreetMap for navigation services, who collect data from drivers, and can that be fed back in the data? What is the license model behind? Have you any ideas about that?
That's kind of a difficult question to answer. Certainly, I think that we want to fit it in because it's in our interests to do so. It gets contributions to us. I don't think we have to define what those contributions are and whether they're useful. And it gets you as a user of our product rather than somebody else's. I think in all these issues, one of the problems we have is if we talk about general hypothetical cases, we don't get anywhere. So we actually, I mean, in your case, come and talk to me, and I'd just like to understand what you and your company want to do, and then one, I can answer your question, and two, I'll learn something interesting to help us move along.
My short here is real quick. Usually, like when it comes to data that you'd like to put into OpenStreetMap. The whole like sort of share like an ODPL discussion is secondary. Like you want to look at is like this first document that Mike showed, which was like the contributed terms, and you want to make sure that your data complies with those contributed terms, and you want to be sure that you're comfortable that your data directly or a derivative of it will be showing up in OpenStreetMap under the ODPL, but there are no licensing implications for the data that you already own, right?
Okay, further contributions? Please announce a name and country.
I'm Ilya from Russia. I'm also one of public domain advocates. And in light of recent discussion, I understood that it's not still time for moving to public domain. In light of Google Map Maker, we still have to maintain share-alike laws. But it's important to understand that not now, but maybe in 50 years' time, the public domain on OpenStreetMap data is basically inevitable. Maybe in 20 years' time, we'll drop share alike, and there will be a very open license on OpenStreetMap data. And it worries me that last year it's something of import inferno in OpenStreetMap community, with like basically everyone looking for any scraps of data to import in database, sometimes forgetting about license. So like I'm not using the data commercially, just importing it in OpenStreetMap data, so let's import non-commercial attribution. So it's important to remember that while now I think we won't move to public domain, but everyone should think that there will be more open license on OpenStreetMap data, maybe not now, maybe not in 10 years' time, but it will be done.
Okay. Thanks, Ilya. Comments?
Okay, well, just the comment. I mean, personally, I think we are very much in agreement on that. I stress personally, because I have to listen to everybody and take everybody's into consideration. And also, at my age, I may not be an active mapper when that happens, and take no part in it whatsoever. But the mechanism is there if and when that sort of event takes place. Thank you.
Okay, further contributions? Okay.
Please, the name and the country.
My name is Kirill, I'm from Russia. For me, attribution share-like principle is very important, and I was sure that ODBL license is attribution share-like for data. But recently I have tried to read the legal code of the license, and for me it was, I found that the text of the license distinguishes between derivative database and produced work. And it seems that for produced work, it's no longer shell-like, just attribute. Is that correct?
That is basically correct.
And the strange thing for me is that the license does not tell what exactly is produced work and what exactly is derivative database. For tiles or printed map or other rasterized map, it can be considered as produced work. But what about, for example, converted files for Garmin or Osmond or something like this? Are those files derivative database or produced work?
So yes, the ODBL is silent on laying out this exactly. So we actually, one of our community guidelines, I think it is number two, actually, which directly it directly answers the question you've asked. In most cases, it's very obvious, as I think you're already saying. However, you do have a small group of things in the middle where you're scratching your head. So the community consensus on that is you make your decision by saying, well, why? What was the primary purpose you made this? So I think for Garmin files, it's a vector database. But usually the primary reason you made it is you're displaying a map. It's a produced work. It is actually quite easy. The one interesting thing at the moment is the vector tiles. What are they? that's going to be an interesting one. So have a look at our wiki community guidelines produced work. I hope that helps you. If it doesn't, please feel free to email us.
Okay. Okay, are there important further questions? Because Michael suggested they want to make a final statement, if possible. Should we do so? Okay.
Okay, that will come from... So Simon is the chairman of the OpenStreetMap Foundation, so I think it's best if he makes it.
One thing I have to point out, naturally, that everybody was involved in the previous license change, clearly wants to maintain Michael's hair, white at least. No, seriously, Mapbox has got a bit of a bad rap for bringing this forward, but I think they need to be applauded because they're doing the right thing. They have an issue with our current license, and they have not simply gone forward and ignored it. You have cases where that has happened. They have actually said, okay, we have to see whether we can start this community process for a license change. Now, I would argue very strongly with their timing, as Michael has as well, but I think they are doing the right thing, and I think they need to get some positive feedback for that as well.
Thank you, Alex. Did you want to make a final?
Going to follow up on this for a second. Thanks, Simon. So I just want, you said, like, you know, Mapbox had an issue and we bring it forward. I think one thing that I really want to make very, very clear is that we're sort of a very grateful member of this community. We are like really trying very actively on how we can contribute. This very specific licensing issue that you know, I'm seeing, that many of my colleagues are seeing, that other people in the community are seeing, I think this is much more a strategic question for the OpenStreetMap community and the success of the project than you know, a Mapbox sort of issue with the license right now. This is really like very much like a question of how can we like augment like the footprint of OpenStreetMap to make it like a really large and very successful data project to build the best map in the world. This is really what it is about. Obviously, this is also going to help Mapbox as one of like the OpenStreetMap users, but this is going to help everybody. And this is really like how I'm looking at this, and hope this is a perspective that we can share. In the sense, I'm very interested to talk to everybody here. Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay, I'd like to close the discussion now because we wanted to go to lunch and have something to eat. Thanks for your contributions and being here. Thanks to Michael, thanks to Alex, and thanks to all.